From the boardroom to the shop floor, good business runs on good governance. Join esteemed expert in governance, Dr. Nimrod Mbele, for the next hour as he takes us beyond governance, making sense of doing business in South Africa.
A very good evening and welcome to tonight's installments of Beyond Governance here at 101.9 High FM. I'm pleased to be sharing this space and time with you as we continue to explore ideas, insights and conversation that makes a meaningful contribution towards leadership, governance and sustainable growth across the continent. My name is Nimrod Mbele. It is a privilege indeed to be with you and welcome to our very first show in 2026. Meanwhile, I want to congratulate, personally, maybe just echoing, you know, worldwide sentiments that is prevailing at the moment by congratulating the 2025 matric class. You know, we all noted that the matric results are in for IAB with an impressive 98.3% pass rate, setting the highest benchmark. As the country eagerly awaits the national, the DBE results. You might recall that last year we had about 87.3% of the DBE, Department of Basic Education, senior certificates, which was the highest matric pass rate in South Africa's history. So it's quite interesting that we have those kinds of observations that are taking place. Meanwhile, you know, I'm sure most of you have noted in the context of the pass rates, there's an ongoing debate about national pass rates. I mean, I recalled, I think a couple of weeks ago, and sometime this week, one proponent who's leading the conversation, or perhaps maybe trying to influence the conversation, is Musima Imane, who recently warned that the low pass rate is misleading in the public as it marks a deeper failures, obviously criticizing the national education system on the less of 30% mark. It's a big issue, particularly in the DBE space. 30%, it says, you know, which means you know less than 70% of what you need to do. And it really brings into question the kind of quality standards that South Africa needs to be known for when we're looking at 30% or 35% pass rate. And it's something that the system had to interrogate, in a deeper fashion, so that we're not projecting that type of setup. Because I mean, we look at the private sector organization. I mean, the minimum is 50%, you know, if you like. So it is important that we reflect. But having said that, notwithstanding these policy debates, for now, let's say well done to the class of 2025. And as they hand over the baton to the class of 2026, for now, let's wish them nothing but their best. That is the cohort of 2026. Anyway, before we get into the gist of our conversation, allow me to extend my season's greetings to you, the beloved listener, and of course the broader High FM family. I wish you prosperous and healthy, purpose-driven 2026. Let me also take the moment to acknowledge few people who make this platform possible. I would like to extend my appreciation to Simon, who just left the studio now. He acted as a bit of a precursor for Beyond Governance. He'll be back on the radio tomorrow at the same time, giving you the best commentary and insights around critical issues. I would also want to extend my warm welcome to the new producer of the show. She goes by the name of Simpiwe Zama Mthethwa. Simpiwe, wish you a very success as we begin our journey together. And of course, it would be remiss of me not to acknowledge the one and only Craig Guthrie, who is on the controller this evening. He'll be pressing all the right buttons and while ensuring that everything runs seamlessly behind the scenes. Of course, last but not least, let me thank you, our beloved listener, for your loyalty, your engagement, your curiosity to continue to inspire us. Together, let us create a wave of entrepreneurial thinking, ethical leadership, and institutional excellence, always through prisms of governance. Tonight, as we kick our first episode in 2026, we'll be exploring what strong leadership looks like in practice. And obviously, we're trying to break down the disconnect often from theory to practice, and how it drives corporate governance or organizational performance, let alone sustainable growth in all organizations, spanning private, and public organization. And you might know, leadership and governance are often discussed in theory. And of course, my guest tonight, who is Adrian Groenewald, co-founder and managing director of Leadership Platform, co-author of Seamless Leadership, will give us a sense of what leadership is all about in practice, and how you and I can learn from his engagement, insights, and wisdom on how we bring about change in what you do through the leadership. Without any waste of time, let me take this opportunity to welcome Adrian. Adrian, good evening and welcome to Beyond Governance Show. And thank you so much for your time.
It's my pleasure. It's wonderful to be with you in the new year. And thank you for inviting me. I look forward to our conversation.
Yes, indeed. If you want to join us, and I implore you to join us, our beloved listener, our WhatsApp line is 061-895-1019. And of course, your views and thoughts are welcome via my excellent, which is _@DrMele. Adrian, I just want to open our conversation by reflecting a little bit on a quote by Napoleon Bonaparte, who once said, "A leader is a dealer in hope." And to what extent this code holds dear to you from where you're sitting, particularly in the context of how leaders ought to inspire, guide, in the vision into action, even in a challenging environment in South Africa.
Yeah, it's a famous quote, isn't it?
Yeah.
Leaders deal in hope. One wonders who came up with that quote, and I think you're right. But a lot of people quote it, and I think what I'm learning about leadership more and more, amongst many things, is that leaders, great leaders, play in the eye of faith space. They play in that space that you don't see with your physical eye. So they play in that place, where you talk about vision, where you talk about hope, where you talk about things that you haven't achieved yet. That's how you inspire people. Not in that space where you see the numbers and the figures, that's all. Those are the results, and they're often measured by it. But hope, especially in a time now, in South Africa, in the world, all over, where people are not clear about where things are going. Are we heading to another war? Are we looking at economic improvement or more decline? We know the world is in a decline in general and on many fronts. So great leaders definitely give hope. There's no doubt about it. And they give hope, and then they follow with a vision and then with a plan on how are we actually going to achieve that. And, I know there are leaders that share hope, or they try and deal in hope, but they're not authentic. So your really authentic leader who truly feels hope inside, I feel genuine hope. I think there is a hope in the future. I think we have great things ahead. People can feel that, that authenticity is very, very important.
Absolutely. I mean, and I like your parting shot around authenticity of leadership. I mean, and personally, can we try and foreground that authenticity in the context of the GNU in a South African body politic? We all know that we no longer have a majority party in government. We're now the government of national unity, which and it seeks to drive economic recovery. And so far, we've seen how the economy is performing. The last quarter of last year, we were tingling around just over 1.5%, which obviously, when you look at in a quarterly, which means it was a beginning, it's a sign of confidence, which perhaps maybe could be amplified if we were to have authentic leadership in the government of national unity. Personally, share your thoughts on what would you consider as key levers of authentic leadership. Whether we're looking at government of national unity, or we're looking at business unity South Africa, or whether we're looking at the South African body, some South African corporate in general. For we all know that the South African, you know, corporate is the muscle behind economic recovery, of which will require, if you like, policy certainty for the investments to be worthwhile to drive economic needle upward. Your take on that?
Yeah, if you get me in the realm of politics, I think what people are hungering for is authenticity. Is they're hungering for leaders who truly are in the space of politics to serve, to lead us to a better place, that they are there not for their own gratification or their own pockets. You know, people really, really want that. Unfortunately, we have a history in politics globally of promises made and not delivered. It's just a common thing in politics. You know, as leaders lobby for positions and for votes, they make promises that they hardly ever keep. And that creates a huge chasm of distrust between followers and leaders. And that is definitely a big challenge that we have to overcome in politics. Now you have something like Government of National Unity, where we may see some signs, but in general, we see contention. You know, and there's a difference between contention and conflict. Conflict is a good thing. There's difference of opinion. That's a good thing. But contention, argumentation, I think if we had to do a poll on levels of trust of our political leaders, it'll be very low. In fact, we did a poll a few years ago, and it's corroborated by a lot of research, where we asked the question on social media, is the world producing better or worse leaders in business and politics? And between 76 and 86% people said the world is producing worse leaders, which shows a huge distrust. So our leaders have, you know, you don't restore that trust in one quarter. You don't restore the trust in one cycle of elections of 4 years. It has to come back in a period of time. In business, you have a little bit more authenticity, but even there's a lot of pressure to deliver good results, especially in mining, for example, quarterly. Every quarter, they have to produce results. And therefore, leaders can easily make decisions that are short-term based rather than long-term and for the good of the organization, the people, communities, and shareholders. So trust and authenticity is a huge challenge in the world out there, and people are hungering for it. Now we have something like AI coming in, Doc, and that's a big challenge, because AI seems so authentic and so intelligent, and yes, it is getting better and better, but to what extent are people using AI to verbalize solutions or to verbalize their thoughts and feelings? We live in a world where we don't know if people are speaking from their instinct, gut. Are they speaking from their experience, or are they speaking from an AI base? So a lot of things are making inroads and competing for authenticity more than ever before, frankly. And the world will hunger. The world will hunger for authenticity more and more and more.
I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, this is a very interesting point that you've just raised, especially the latter part around authenticity with the beginning of AI, because we all know that there are a whole lot of people who are found wanting, by using the instruments, AI, which is obviously meant to facilitate efficiency. And yet the ownership obviously is misleading. When you go to judiciary, we have seen a lot of people found wanting. When you go to academia, you know, we've seen a lot of people found wanting, because, you know, AI wouldn't tell you this is this body of knowledge. You need to acknowledge Adrian Grunewald. It's not your piece. So those are other, you know, dynamic that we need to, you know, perhaps maybe apply a little more as we move towards authenticity that you made mention. In the meantime, we're going to quickly take a break. We'll be back in a second.
This is Beyond Governance with Dr. Nimrod Dembele on 101.9 High FM.
Welcome back. This is now 22 minutes after six o'clock. It's amazing how time flies. If you've just joined us, I'm having interesting conversation with the one and only Adrian Grunewald, who's a co-founder and MD of Leadership Platform and an author of Seamless Leadership. In tonight's conversation, we're unpacking what strong leadership looks like in practice. And we so far we're getting a bit of good insights from Adrian on what is it that you look, you know, on what is it that you have to look for. Before we took that short break, I mean, he raised two pertinent points. Firstly, about a trust deficit that, you know, through the polls he ran, you know, sometimes last year or so, revealed that more than 76% of those that were sampled suggest that the world is producing worse leaders. So trust is a big issue. Authenticity is a big issue. And we also, you know, these issues are compounded by geopolitical conditions that are prevailing. We all know that the West, the East, and the North, those, a lot of those contestations based on the leadership that is prevailing. And of course, these issues have a ramifications to successes or inhibiting factors to what the economy trajectory looks like, towards how companies look like. As we proceed, one thing that you raised that I want to perhaps maybe drill a little bit more, it is about the point that you raised that in private sector, you know, leaders are often looking at the short term without necessarily looking or addressing more sustainable long term, which obviously would be in the best interest of both the employees as well as the shareholders. But how do we mitigate those risks? Because you as a CEO of a particular entity, you know, your bottom line, you've been measured on the numbers. And some investors are looking at the performance within short term. And that also leads into whole malfeasance on the side of the executives because they be measured. So what is it that we can learn from that harsh reality that we need to navigate the complexity and the contention which management find themselves in by experiencing pressures from the investors, you know, for them to be more short-term oriented as opposed to long-term, because we have seen companies collapsing purely because, you know, look at Stanoff. One of the biggest issues that we have all learned that, you know, the investors were interested in short-term gains, and in the long-term, Stanoff was the biggest loser. So from that angle, we're obviously having to talk about shareholder activism. How do you mitigate or mediate the risks that are inherent in managers being forced or pressured to look at the short-term gains at the expense of impact and the long-term sustainability of entities?
So let me just say this to leaders. You will be under pressure to push for results, short-term results. The world will push you in that direction. You will be under huge pressure to deliver. But ultimately, the leaders who stand out, who make a big difference and who leave a good legacy, are the ones who can navigate through that pressure and keep their sights clearly on a vision and a purpose that that is good for the organization, for community, and for everyone involved. In other words, that maturity to not buckle under the pressure of short-termism, as we say. That's the authenticity, is the fact that I know my leader is under pressure, but I also know that this vision and purpose that he or she drives on a daily basis is genuine and it's authentic, and he or she believes in it with their whole soul. So that is very important. To mitigate it, Doc, what I would say is this. We've got something we call SOOS, okay? It stands for the following four principles. And the way we mitigate the performance of organizations inside society is to get these four building blocks in place. And the first two are not receiving enough attention, which is why number three and four are failing in many respects. And that is, the SOOS stands for self, leading self. The first O is for leading others. The third O is leading organization only then. And of course, the fourth one is leading society, SOOS. So our problem comes in if I do not know myself and my purpose. And I know it sounds like people are beating this drum all the time, but if a leader is not authentically leading him or herself by way of knowing who I am, my purpose is clear, my values are clear, I have my personal vision. I truly work on myself. I try and improve my interpersonal skills, my ability to care for people. I am personally growing and people around me can sense and feel it. That foundation block is missing. A lot of leaders become very successful quickly and they go into organizational leadership and they lead the organization forward, but their building block of leading self is missing, or it's very wobbly or weak. And then the second one is, if I truly know myself and I truly am authentic, then the way I lead people, the way I see people is so different. Okay, I then lead them with more compassion, but more accountability. I can make hard decisions, but they feel I care for them. They feel I really, really am concerned. So the way I see myself reflects in how I lead you, in how I lead people around me, and how I talk to them under pressure, And now when those two building blocks are in place, it's much easier for me to lead the organization with a vision on what is needed and what is most important for that organization and its people and the community and the future, as opposed to just falling for every little bit of pressure that comes my way. So I just want to leave that. And I think the reason I share that is our response as leaders is SOOS. But what is the response to it? It's to an SOS call. So SOS, we know, is that distress call by ships, save our souls, a century ago. Now, society is sending a lot of SOSs to us. Education is sending SOS. Young people, families, organizations, politics, they're all sending distress calls. And how are we responding as leaders? We're responding with SOOS. Let me lead myself. Let me lead others. Let me lead my organization, society better. So that is kind of philosophically what I would say to you. And then, we lead by example. If a leader is not authentic, then he will have a team like Steinhoff. He'll have a team that are probably not authentic, a team who lead just to look good, to save themselves, to enrich themselves. And we see too much of that in politics. Way too much of that in politics, where it truly is not about the people. It really is about me and what I can get out of this.
Absolutely. You have certainly given us a food for thought on a number of principles that I can personally relate to, particularly around SOS, and I'll just unpack a little bit more. And I do like the idea of looking at how societies and communities are sending SOS to leaders as a sign of distress. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll unpack these a little bit more, so that we get a very good sense on how to take it forward. Because I like the idea of understanding oneself. If you understand yourself first as a person, your limitations, you're more likely to work with others. And of course, those that are successful, in my view, are the ones that surround themselves with people who are better, who are more even competent than themselves, because they're not threatened. So before you can bring, if you know yourself, your limitations, and you're not going to be threatened by the people that you bring along, because you understand the bigger picture, not so much about you having to be seen as the person all the time. Let's take that quick break. We'll be back in a second.
This is Beyond Governance with Dr. Nimrod Mbele on 101.9 High FM.
Welcome back. This is Beyond Governance. My name is Nimrod Mbele. If you've just joined us, I'm joined online by the one and only Adrian Kronenbaum, who is a co-founder and MD of Leadership Platform. He's also an author of Leadership, Seamless Leadership. Tonight, we're really unpacking what actually means to be a leader, to be an authentic leader, to bestow trust, to invoke that camaraderie type of spirit where you are at. Before he took that break, he made a number of interesting points around what he framed as SOAS, which is a almost like a four-pillar line of thought that his philosophy is based on, of which we can all learn from. One of them is obviously for you to be a leader, you have to be mature, and part of maturity in his view depends really on knowing thyself, and if you know yourself as a leader, you are likely to lead others better. and you also have to, you know, lead with compassion. And once you lead with compassion, you're more likely to, you know, lead with a society, the organization, and a society that society more broadly. So I mean, these are obviously interesting line of thought that we often take for granted, you know. And again, if you could just go back and say, from your end, you know, because a particular organization, you know, employees, shareholders, stakeholders are sputing, you know, SOE, and from your end, which organization we can all learn from based on the type of leadership that you know that is reflective of the principle that you've shared with us, which we can all learn from. Your take on that, please.
Dr. Nimrod, you know, it's an interesting question, but if I can just quickly jump back a moment, it's one thing to know myself. It's another thing to continuously improve myself. So the big challenge we have in our society, if I can just quickly put this on the table, is that we've got a decline in our society, collectively speaking. There are pockets of excellence. So socially, emotionally, financially, politically, we've got this decline worldwide, this lack of trust. And the reason we have that is because there's an overall decline in leadership standards. So leadership standards are going down, therefore society in general is going down. And the question is, how do we swing this around? How do we change that trajectory so that we get leaders to improve dramatically and leadership standards to improve dramatically? And that is our drive. We started something called Me Vision Academy. And Me Vision Academy is trying to revolutionize the speed at which leaders improve in order to keep up with the improvement of AI, among other things. The world is actually turning to AI because it's improving so fast, and that's a big mistake. And because our leaders are not improving in proportion to that. So we've started a global improvement revolution. And the improvement is, in fact, on those four levels: leading self, improving self, leading others, improving our people, leading and improving our organizations and society, large and small organizations. So that is just something that I want to say out loud, is that we need an improvement revolution that is changing the speed at which we're all improving and growing on those four levels, so that we can counter the world's reliability on AI at the highest levels. Now, I don't know if you're asking me for an organization that is an example of the kind of SOS leadership. The standards I think of most organizations are behind, even those who are performing well. Of course, we have organizations that are working really hard to create a strong culture on those four levels. I do think of organizations like Harmony Gold that I'm aware of, you know, where they truly work hard to look after their people, look after communities, to find a balance between leading self, leading others, leading organization, leading society. Everything they do is to try and grow that. And it's such hard work and so much investment, and it takes years to turn around an organization of 45,000 people. Discovery starts by employing really smart people and having a brilliant concept. And so much flows from an Adrian Gore over the decades, who is very, very balanced on improving self. Their whole philosophy is improving self. We may not always agree with everything, but there's this strong philosophy of improving self, but it's very much on the physical side, of course. You know, if I'm fit, then I get discount and this and that. But there are examples of organizations where you find the drive to make sure leaders lead themselves well before they move forward. Now, we can look at top political leaders. We can see why the world is where it is. We can see how quickly our national leaders become offended. We can see how quickly they want to impress by saying, I have done this, I have done that, as opposed to we have done that. We can see that when leaders speak, are they speaking about my team? We are changing the organization and the future, as opposed to I am doing it. We can see what kind of leaders have truly worked on that building block of knowing and improving self on a continuous basis. So I think we are getting less and less organizations that are good examples of authentic leadership on those four levels. And partly it is because of the change is so dramatically fast, and organizations are adopting AI so that it gets even faster. And our leaders are not equipped, especially politically, but more and more corporate, to in a mature way, bring AI in. Now, AI must help you lead organization better. That's the third block. That's what AI should do, is help us become more efficient, as you so rightly said earlier. But if I don't lead myself well and my people well, and I then bring in AI that is so efficient and so intelligent, especially when super intelligence comes, we will fail miserably, and we will have to shed people, and we will become absolutely reliable on AI, and we will run into a wall. Okay, it's a deception for us to become reliant on AI. It's not a human being. AI cannot live in the eye of faith. AI cannot give you a vision, a purpose, hope, those kind of things. AI cannot do the most important things that inspire people. And if we are going to hand over the baton to that rather than use it in the right place, we are in deep trouble.
I couldn't agree with you more. We certainly are in big trouble when you look at this. The math, the statistics, I mean, we're sitting at close to north of 40% of unemployment in South Africa, and a feature majority of that, it's amongst youth with degrees and on some form of qualifications. We're now celebrating, 87% of matric pass rates from IAB. And where are these graduates, going to get employed if AI assume role? So it is important that we, part of the seven leadership, that we're talking about, is to see how best we can use AI to improve efficiency with a human face, improve productivity by leading with compassion, and by inspiring people to do more. And not with deception. So these are some of the issues that I'm picking up as you are educating us on your views. And I do like some practical example that you've shared with us. I mean, Harmony Gold Discovery, and these are entities from your end. I mean, there are a whole lot of other companies that are pretty much in the same basket. What is emerging from our conversation is the philosophy of improving self, but also improving, knowing yourself, but also improving self. So we always in this constant, cycle of having to reflect. But I think how possible it is, because you cannot be running in perpetuity. You do need some time to stop, reflect on what is working. By way of seeing how your staff is performing. What point are we factoring the reflection, a deep reflection as managers? What would your advice be, to someone who's listening to the show, embracing the four principles that you're talking about, which I think do require element of deeper reflection, so that we don't get people burn out? Because, you see people running the mold and ultimately they become zombies.
So what I would say to leaders is that the world is never, from here on forward, it hasn't for some time given you reflection time on a platter. Okay? It's never going to come. The world is just getting faster, and the pace at which decisions are being made. So decision-making needs reflection. Decision-making needs wisdom and mostly some level of consultation. But leaders are forced to make decisions so quickly and so fast that they aren't doing that. We've got a principle we call EDO factor. And that is that every situation consists of just two things. Every single situation, either evaluate or do. EDO factor. You're always evaluating or doing or both. There's never anything more. Right now you're evaluating, assessing, listening to what I'm saying. I'm doing, I'm talking. Okay, so we as leaders must become very good at evaluating. That's part of reflecting. And we've got to make that time early in the mornings, every single day, reflect on who I am. Why am I getting up out of bed on a Monday morning? Do I still feel purpose? And then we must encourage our people to reflect. But when we're out there in the business environment, reflection is not necessarily seen as working, but it is working. Thinking and pondering and discussing is working. So I think it comes back to SOOS. Am I leading myself by reflecting every day that I'm on course? that I know who I am. I know what drives me. What are my drivers? I know my values. I know I'm still in a place where I feel I'm needed and I can make a difference. And now I go out there in the right mode, in the right mood, and in the right frame of mind, and I can help others. So, I mean, reflecting is when you sit and breathe in the mornings, when you exercise, when you go for your run or your walk or whatever you do, make time to reflect. We must lead AI. AI mustn't lead us. But first, I must lead myself. Then I lead my people. Then we together lead our organization. And then we must lead society. Like never before, we've got to lead society. That statement that says someone must fix the road, someone must fix education, well, that someone is me. That someone is you. We've got to do something. And that's why we say society is part of leadership. I feel passionate. I feel passionate, Nimrod, about this MeVision Academy that we have, where we are driving SOOS. We actually have improvement architects. And if I may quickly say this, we've got two big challenges on this continent, many, many challenges, but the two major ones we're trying to resolve at the same time is leadership standards, firstly, and secondly, youth unemployment. Okay, so youth unemployment speaks to the future leaders of this continent and our country. Leadership standards speak to the current leaders that are not leading the way they should, and they're not handing over a baton effectively to the next generation. And our next generation must be looked after. And inside our MeVision Academy, people can go to mevisionacademy.com and they'll see we are driving improvement of leadership through this improvement revolution on those four levels. And we found a way to create a future for our younger generation, for our graduates, for our youngsters who are unemployed, 62% of them, and to give them meaning to help us drive this future. Very, very important that we do that. And we've got a model. We've got a model where they can earn and learn, not just learn, but they can earn while they learn. We've got something remarkable going because we're serious about SOOS, responding to the SOS cries out there. And we're serious about youth unemployment. And we're serious about South Africa and the future of this magnificent continent.
Absolutely.
We think we can lead the world.
Absolutely. I'm sure you've heard pockets of excellence coming from Adrian, who is my guest tonight. What's your take? Please give us your thoughts. Our WhatsApp line is 061-895-1019. And of course, your views and thoughts are welcome via my handle, which is _@DrMbele. I'm sure if you have a question, I'm sure Adrian will be more than happy to respond to your question for your leader, your manager, who's experimenting on some of these issues. What's your take on this, SOS that he's referring to? What's your take on this, the principle around knowing thyself, leading others, but also leading, organization, but also leading community? He's also talking about, the MeVision Academy, which is spoken about, and we may not have all the time to explore what it is all about, but critical to this issue he's referring to is that the leadership standard and youth unemployment. And I couldn't agree with him more on leadership standard, that we are obviously no longer creating the ideal leadership. And perhaps maybe we may have to unpack our own standards of leadership that we're creating. Do we create leaders that are reducing the trust deficit? And you can only reduce trust deficit with your suppliers, with your clients, with your constituencies, with your investors, if you're authentic, if you're not fudging the numbers, and if you're restoring faith, and if you're delivering. So these are some of the issues that you're talking about. Certainly, and perhaps maybe at some point we'll get back to this MeVision Academy. We'll get to a point where on what sort of model of employment the MeVision Academy is posing for. What is it that they're leveraging on other initiatives similar of similar nature? Because, unemployment is such a complex phenomenon which requires collaboration, between and among like-minded organizations, because there's not even government can do that, even though they've missed the point. In my view, the job of the government is to create an enabling policy environment, and leave the thinking, the engineering to private sector, because private sector has the know-how to really translate policy into action. But those are some of the issues. What's your take? I'm still looking forward to hear your thoughts. Our SMS line is 061-895-1019. And of course, if you've got anything that you want to throw via my X handle, it's underscore Dr. Mbele. We want to take a last quick break. When you come back, we'll conclude this very interesting conversation with Adrian.
This is Beyond Governance with Dr. Nimrod Mbele on 101.9 High FM.
Welcome back. This is Beyond Governance. It's amazing how time flies. We literally gravitated towards the end of a beautiful show. If you've just joined us, I'm in conversation with Adrian Groenewald, who's a co-founder and managing director of Leadership Platform. He's also an author of Seamless Leadership. And tonight's conversation is really to give you, the beloved listener, a very good sense of what it means to be an authentic leader, what it means to understand yourself, understand and improve yourself so that you're able to lead as a collective towards organization, but also towards society at large. I mean, before we took that break, we have been schooled a little bit. We have been given very interesting insights as well as perspectives on how leadership in practice means. Before we took that break, one thing that perhaps Adrian to give us a bit of more is this Me Vision Academy that he spoke about before that quick break. And can you just give us more about this? Because I think it's a very interesting, if not powerful, initiative, which I'm assuming it leverages on other similar organizations or initiatives that seeks to create or deliver on the leadership standard, but most importantly, standard that uplift the youth unemployment in this country.
Yeah, Dr. Mbele, you know, we are revolutionizing learning and especially leadership learning and improvement inside Me Vision Academy. And to do that, we are recruiting young people, tech savvy graduates or busy studying, to help us generate quality content out there on an SOOS level. Self, others, organization, society, and for them to bring that content so that leaders can expedite their personal growth, leading self, improving self, others. And as they do that, we've got our own currency that allows them to earn while they themselves learn, and they earn real-time certificates and income while they actually grow leadership on our continent. So they are helping build a better leadership future for current leaders, but they themselves then earn certificates in leadership as they participate. And we're doing it across at least 4 countries on the African continent already, and we certainly want to expand it hugely in South Africa. So we're addressing the leadership standard issue, but we're also addressing the youth unemployment thing and we're creating a whole new career called IAs. So it's the opposite of AI, improvement architect. We call these youngsters improvement architects, helping us in the AI era to help leaders expedite their personal growth. And people can go to mevisionacademy.com, they can contact me directly, and we're partnering with organizations. We're reaching out to YES, the Youth Employment Service that is recruited over 200,000, I think, interns in many organizations. And we're saying, let's partner to take that initiative to another level and give these youngsters a future further in South Africa and across the continent. I just want to say, if I have last words, and I don't know if I'm jumping the gun, I've seen amazing examples, Doctor, where organizations are catching the vision of SOOS, responding to the SOS. I look at, for example, there's a large tier one mine outside Mokopane called Mogalakwena, a platinum mine. I think it's the biggest open cast platinum mine in the world. And the vision they have caught of leading self, others, organization, society, and how they are approaching the community and the local leaders, everyone, to turn around the town and to make the town a better place and an attractive place for people to come and live with their families and lead good lives. Their passion to not just lead themselves and their people and their organization, but also their community, is absolutely commendable. And the leadership we see there and the difference that he's making and will make gives me a great amount of hope that there are leaders, and I see them everywhere starting to realize we are the solution. We can't wait for politicians. They can come with us, or they can stay behind. But it's time for us to lead SOOS to change the world as leaders. But you know, only the leaders who truly improve themselves and lead themselves as a starting block see this vision. It's not just about leading my organization and making money. It's about realizing, gosh, I want meaning in my life, and that means I must create meaning in others' lives, and that means let's create meaning in the organization and society and our communities. So you can't skip those building blocks. You become very superficial when you don't lead yourself effectively. You jump straight into organization, and it's all about profit and money and wealth and all that. Sorry, no foundation. Somewhere you're going to come tumbling down.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I think you've given us food for thought. Can you perhaps maybe repeat the, you know, your contact details for Vision Academy so that the listeners may go there and you know, do a bit of ground digging and whatever question they may have and who to contact. Give us those on air, please.
Yeah, my pleasure. It's simply one word, me, Vision Academy. In other words, I have to catch a vision of who I am, the vision of me, grow myself so that I can move forward and change the world. So me, Vision Academy, one word, .com. So it's important, the .com, the global vision.
There we go. That's then absolutely fascinating insight that you've learned from you, and I've certainly learned a lot, you know, about the principle that you've spoken about, SOS, which also, you know, in your view have somehow worked in organizations that are responding to community distress and trying to mitigate those. And it all starts with understanding thyself and improving thyself, and also moving towards a collective space where you can manage an organization, and later you can manage the society or community, as it were. So these are very important and powerful instruments that you've shared with us that have practical implications. We wish you nothing but the best. But at some point, maybe do give us a shout. We're more than happy to go back into this Me Vision Academy and see, you know, what is actually working, and we can partner with yourself to elevate, you know the any initiative that is groundbreaking, that is creating or making a difference in the space of youth unemployment, for it is such a big issue of which it is in our interest that we collaborate and really address this issue, because we're sitting on a time bomb.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
You're most welcome. There you are. That was Adrian Groenewald, who's a co-founder and managing director of Leadership Platform and an author of Seamless Leadership, giving us very interesting models of leadership and how best to understand ourselves in relation to others, and how we lead with compassion, and how we lead with you know, trust, and how we bridge the trust deficit that we're experiencing. I do like the idea of the Edo factor. You evaluate and do, you know, from time to time, because it's such an important thing that you always have to, because to his words, society will not give you, reflection on the platter. So you reflect as you do, and you always have to be conscious of those kind of and I found it very refreshing. I also, picked up a very, interesting nuggets about the AI, architects of, Adrian, was it architects? Architects of AI, IA.
Yeah, IAs.
Absolutely. I want to use that phrase. It's very interesting. So I will coach you on it. And when I make money next time, I'll attribute that to you. Anyway, it has been absolutely beautiful. We're going to have to leave it here. Thank you so much. We're going to have to do this next week again. Have yourself a fantastic evening. It has been absolutely heartfelt. Thanks to Adrian Groenewald for sharing his expertise, a practical example, and thought-provoking insights that takes the lead this organization, or well, the society, to greater heights. From now, from me to you, Nimrod Dembele, signing out. Shalom.